Good evening. Welcome to Faith Evangelical Bible Church. And some of you have been here before. You've seen a baptism. You know that we drown people here. No, not quite. But if they're not obedient, we hold them under a little longer, so you beware. Tonight is a wonderful opportunity to celebrate with believers. The question is, what is a believer? Maybe you have been to other baptisms and you say, well, I think I understand what it is. But many years ago, when people were gathered by the Jordan River and were watching John the Baptist, and they saw people being baptized and was wondering what was this all about, they had an inkling of what was going on. People were confessing their sins, but not sure exactly why they were doing it. People were looking for a Messiah, but they weren't looking for someone who would actually confront them about their sinfulness and their need of a Savior. They were looking for a Messiah who would set them free from any political turmoil. Of course, at that time, the Romans were in charge. And so while they were along the Jordan, they heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I want you to imagine for a moment, you're along the shore of the Jordan. You're just simply an onlooker. You are seeing people in line, standing and waiting. John's mission, of course, was to call the nation of Israel back into a covenant relationship with the Lord. Of course, we as a church would say to all Canadians, you need the Lord. That'd be a hard sell, wouldn't it? We realize that basically maybe 6% of our country would actually claim to be Christian. We got a lot of work to do, don't we? I shared the first scene this morning along the Jordan River where John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and some of his disciples, we know that one of them was Andrew. And if you have your Bibles along, you can have a brief look at this. I'm going to share three other passages with you this evening. This one is found in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Now the disciples were following Jesus, and they were curious. They were told that Jesus was the Lamb of God. They may very well have witnessed having seen the dove fluttering over top of Jesus' head, as John the Baptist was being told, "The one upon whom my spirit, in the form of a dove, would express itself, that's the Messiah." So when John saw that, he pointed to Jesus. And two of his disciples decided to follow. Now people may have looked at that and maybe thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder why they're following. Well, as they were following, the Lord Jesus looked back at them and said, "What do you want? What do you want?" Sometimes we get this idea that just because we place our trust in Jesus, that all of our problems will be solved. It's all going to be fixed. All of the consequences of my choices will just evaporate. I'm sorry, that's not what it means to place your trust in Christ. We still are sinful. We still live in a sinful world. So what did people see? What did they expect? What do people want? And what should people actually understand about the scenes that we see in Scripture? So I want to take you to a second scene. It's found in John's Gospel, the third chapter, chapter 3, verse 22. Not long after Jesus had talked to the disciples and asked them the question, "What do you want?" We don't really know what the time span is, but we read that they were actively involved already, very young in their spiritual nurture, and their understanding, they were actually involved in baptizing other people. Let's read it. John chapter 3, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Yeah. So, well, no, it says that he was baptizing. Yes, okay. Let's go over just a little further. Go to chapter 4, another scene. The Pharisees had heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. What's going on there? You see, I want you to understand, you who are going to be baptized, God wants you to be involved in his work right away. He wants you to be involved. Baptism is not a rite to service, but it is an expression. In fact, people during Jesus' day understood that if you were being baptized, you were basically saying this: I'm turning my back on this world and I'm following Jesus. I trust that's what you're doing. You're turning your back on this world's values and holding to the values of Scripture. So the disciples were actively involved. They were telling others. They were persuading people that Jesus is the Messiah. That's our second scene. Now, at this point, when we talk about the gospel accounts, we're simply seeing people responding to the message that they heard. We're not being told what it is that Jesus had done to disciple them. We're not told how much information that they actually had. We're not told that he had maybe had to correct them from time to time, although when we read the gospel narratives, we do see him correcting his disciples. You see, the gospels were written so that those of us who believe would actually have a tool in hand to be able to read and encourage us, but also to share it with others. Now, we live in a community where, by and large, most people have heard the gospel. But may I dare say, that doesn't mean that most people understood it. And nor does it mean that most people had it shared with them clearly. How many of you know John 3:16? Just put your hand up. That's a good percentage of you. I wonder what that means. Well, you might be saying, well, that guy's asking the question. Maybe he doesn't even know what it means. I believe I do. But there was a time when I didn't. There was a time when I heard those words that I had to give deep and serious thought to their significance. Although I would say that I was told that Jesus died for my sins, but I didn't exactly understand that. I still believed that somehow I had to be a real good person and just maybe God would let me in. But when I finally understood the grace of God and I understood that verse, you quote it with me: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever works real hard and maybe doubts and believes at times, but falls away, might have eternal life if he tries real hard. How many of you believe that? That's a good verse, isn't it? Isn't that how you remember it? You don't remember it like that. Okay, well, let me go at this again. Okay, let's see if I can get this straight. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, what's the next part? Believes and works real hard, might get into heaven. Is that the way it goes? What do you think? Chris, is that, that's not it, is it? Let me try it again. Third time round, maybe a charm, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not, what? Perish. But have eternal life. Not might have. Not will have. But has eternal life, a present possession, something that a person understands the moment that they believe that they've been granted the gift of life and that their sins are forgiven and that they have peace with God. Knowing full well that they're sinners, knowing full well that they're still going to mess up, but knowing full well that they're in the hands of God's marvelous grace and His mercy. So as we read the gospel accounts, and those of you who have read them know very well that Jesus died to take away the penalty for our sins. In other words, Jesus died in my stead so that I, recognizing that although I would die for my sins, could not save myself, but in having died for me, He made it possible that having believed, I would have eternal life, guaranteed. You see, the penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. And so because these candidates believe that Jesus died for them and they've placed their trust in Him, they are forgiven. They have been granted and gifted life, eternal, a life that begins the very moment you believed. And so guess what the disciples were doing in that scene in John chapter 3:22? Jesus had not died yet, but they understood this, that Jesus was the Messiah whom they were expecting and that He was the author of life. Scene number 3, John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Although similar to the previous one, with the disciples baptizing new believers, we read that the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining more disciples than John. Of course, this would be a political concern for them. They didn't want a political rival in Jesus. And so Jesus, as a result, they knew John was a threat, but Jesus was gaining even more disciples, was becoming a greater threat. Of course, we know that as we read the Gospels, and if you never have, I just want you to understand that they would later confront the Lord Jesus. They would question Him, seeking to undermine His authority. And then later would plot His death so that He would be taken out of the way. Chris and Tracy, Samantha and Rachel, Frank, you are a threat to modern day society. How could that possibly be? Samantha says, I'm so sweet. I'm going to have a baby, and man, I couldn't hurt a butterfly. No, we're a threat. We're a threat because we represent God's righteousness. There'll be times when we're going to say that society's values and the things that are so-called politically correct, we're going to actually say they're wrong. We're not going to condone sinful practices, even though society says it's okay. So we're a threat to modern society because we're not in agreement with the things that are being taught, things that are politically authorized for political expediency. Followers of Jesus will often find themselves at odds, yes, with old friends and with family and co-workers on many issues. This may result, I want you to know, in persecution and possible alienation by your own family. This is the cost of discipleship. This is the cost of following Jesus. Let me take you to a fourth scene, Acts chapter 8. Some years later, after Jesus had died and resurrected, He commissioned His disciples and says, I want you to go to all the nations of the world, and I want you to make disciples of all people, and I want you to baptize them, and I want you to teach them all that I have commanded you. That's what I want you to do. And so they were in process. They were on the way. In Acts chapter 8, we actually have an Ethiopian eunuch. someone who had significant responsibility for a queen called Candace. Candace was the queen of the Ethiopians. He was reading the scriptures, opening the scroll of Isaiah, reading it. And you know, like many people today who read the scriptures, like an uncle of mine who asked me after I had been in ministry for some time, said to me, says, you read the scriptures, don't you? And I said, yes. He said, can you actually understand them? I said, well, I just want you to understand, I'm still learning, but they were written so that we could understand them. And he sort of scratched his head and he said, I've been reading them for years and I just don't think I understand. If you're reading the scriptures day after day and you say, I don't understand what I'm reading, you're probably feeling a little bit like the Ethiopian eunuch. So God sent Philip along. In fact, you very well may be the Phillips in other people's lives explaining the scriptures to people. I did that throughout high school. People would come and ask me questions, and I'd say, okay, well, let's look at that, see if we can't figure out what that's saying and what's the context. And so as he read the passage, he didn't understand that as he's reading this passage from the book of Isaiah, who was the author? Who was Isaiah speaking about? He was asking Philip, could you explain this to me? Philip said, yes, I can. And he says there in Scripture, Acts chapter 8, says that he told him the good news about Jesus. You see, the good news about Jesus is that he died for you and for me so that we might have life with him. He died for you and for me because you and I could not die for ourselves and take away the debt. We could never right the wrongs. In fact, even if we were to live forever in this sinful state, we could never right the wrongs and be absolved of our guilt. What does one need to believe in order to be baptized? Well, as you read this account in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, you quickly realize that the Ethiopian eunuch was seeking to understand a passage that was speaking about the Messiah. And if you're seeking to understand something, I want to assure you that God will send people into your life. He will send people into your life to help you understand things. In fact, there may very well be people in your life today to whom you'd say, oh, I don't think I could ask them. Like, I mean, that would be conceding the fact that I don't know very much. Don't go there. It'd be far better for you to concede that you don't know as much as other people think you do and just ask the question. And if it's a person that you know, you realize that chances are that they're not interested in telling you how dumb you are and how smart they are. They love the Lord. They just want you to appreciate the good news. And that's what Philip did. These baptismal candidates are being nurtured in their relationship with the Lord. This morning we had four young people. Their parents obviously had an active role. Youth leaders were involved. Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, Bible classes, Awana, and so on. All of this was in an effort to help them mature. The ministry here at Faith Evangelical Bible Church and Emmaus Bible Church is all about helping you mature in your walk with the Lord. So that as you are maturing, you would tell others. Jesus is counting on you to tell others. So I don't even know where to say. I'm so nervous now. I'm not even sure I can say what it was that I wrote down. It all looks like Chinese. Well, just turn the sheet upside right and it'll be fine. Those of you who are here tonight We're going to hear some testimonies in a few moments. What do you want in your relationship with the Lord, if you have one? Do you want to follow Jesus? As a young person, we used to sing in our youth group, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." Those words are as true to me today as they were when I first heard them. I still love to sing them because I, too, like many of you, are met with challenges in life, disappointments, confronted with my own sinfulness, and yes, the failures of others as well. Life is broken. It can only be healed by a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Our baptismal candidates have come to understand that. They haven't arrived. They're not perfect. They'll readily confess that they still sin. But they know that as they confess their sin, the Lord Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive them of their sin. What do you want? What are you hoping to see? What are you expecting? I hope you aren't expecting that all your problems are going to go away. In fact, probably what's going to happen is that some of your problems are going to increase in intensity. Sometimes you'll say, not by virtue of any circumstances that you can control, not necessarily because you made wrong choices. In some cases, it may just be virtue of the fact that people don't agree with the choices that you're making. Your decision to place your trust in the Lord, being persuaded of His marvelous grace. I want you to realize that you have peace with God, and God wants you to have that peace within, day after day, moment by moment. He wants to use your life right where you are. You know that you're not fully grown up yet. Neither am I. I'm still working on that. My wife reminds me of that from time to time. But so do others. We all have a lot of growing up to do. It's been a pleasure just hearing you prepare, hearing your questions, trying to bring clarity to how you might communicate the truth here tonight. And I pray that the Lord would bless you as you do. I'm going to call Chris and then Tracy and then Samantha and Rachel and Frank to share their testimonies. Let's give our ear and our hearts to what they have to say. We may just learn something here tonight. May the Lord bless you.
Good evening. My name is Chris Tegrob. I grew up in a Christian home with my parents, Peter and Eva Tegrob, and my two older siblings, Tom and Gwen. We attended the Old Colony Church regularly until I was about 11. And then we changed churches so there wasn't such a language barrier. I can't tell you the exact age or year that I came to know Christ. All I know that is for as long as I can remember, I believed. I had some wilder years as a teen, but that was short-lived. I met my wife, Tracy, at the age of 18. We started dating a year later and got married 2 years after that. After marriage, we went to church the odd time, but basically didn't really start going until we had kids. At 5 years of marriage, we decided we would try to start a family. It didn't take long, and Tracy was pregnant. It also didn't take long to find out our baby wouldn't make it full term. 5 months into pregnancy, Callie Ellen Tegrob passed to her complications. It wasn't easy, but as a couple, we decided that we would trust in God and that this must be part of His plan. During the next year, we started trying different churches, and we ended up here at FEBC. We both liked how welcoming it was and the size of something Tracy was used to. We've been coming here on and off for the last 5 years, and have also started going to small groups. In these 5 years, we have also been blessed with two healthy children. First, we had Lexi. She has kept us accountable to keep coming to church on a weekly basis. Her love for Jesus and her excitement to go to Sunday school has been an inspiration for both of us. 3 years later, we had Cain. We were happy to know he will be starting Sunday school this year, knowing that he will be taught God's truths. Normally, I don't believe anything unless I see it for myself. That being said, when it comes to God, I've never doubted him or that Jesus died for my sins, that I can live with him in heaven and for eternity. I struggled with the idea I couldn't lose my salvation. After having Pastor Mike down a few times, he helped me understand the gift of salvation can't and won't be taken away. As a human, I am sinful by nature, and the penalty of sin is death. Even though I will continue to sin, I am working on the areas of my life that need attention. Not to earn my salvation, but in hope that when this life is over, I will hear, "Well done." I want to be a good example for our children. I also want to continue to grow in the Word and apply these teachings to being a better father, husband, and overall person. John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
My name is Tracy Tightrope. I grew up in Rosenfeld in a loving, Christ-centered home with my parents, Harry and Ellen Schmidt, and my three older siblings, Brad, Jody, and Christy. When I married Chris, we bought a house in Plum Coulee, but moved to Rheinfeld a few years later, where we're raising two kids, Lexi and Kane. Growing up, my family went to Sunday school and church regularly and did family devotions of reading and praying together daily. It wasn't uncommon to have discussions about the Bible and how it related to our lives. It was through these discussions that I came to understand that because of my sinful nature, there was nothing that I could do to earn God's approval. That it was only through Jesus' death and resurrection that I could be free from guilt and receive the gift of eternal life. All I had to do was believe. I remember my dad saying that God would never erase my name from the book of life, and so my eternal future was secure. As I grew up, I started to question the validity of the Bible, but was too ashamed to voice this. I began pushing God aside and living selfishly. I met Chris, and we married 3 years later. When we decided to start a family, we were thrilled to find out that I was pregnant. About 5 months into my pregnancy, we discovered that our little girl wouldn't survive much longer. When we buried her, I felt completely broken. That loss forced us to make a choice, and we chose to trust God and his plan and turn to each other for support. It was undeniable that God gave me strength when I didn't have any left. Through many prayers, I found joy again. Since then, we've had Lexi, who's now 5, and Kane, who is 2. We started attending church here regularly, initially for the sake of the kids. If we would consider missing a Sunday, we knew we'd have to answer to Lexi, and so there was no turning back then. Even though it has been a difficult transition for me, as I've always dealt with anxiety, I've come to enjoy attending and feel very accepted and welcomed here. I know God is using these experiences to help me grow and be encouraged. I've come to understand that the Bible really is the ultimate truth. Now, as I read it, God is making me more aware of the changes that I need to make in my life. As I strive to have patience with others, I'm thankful that God is being patient with me. As Colossians 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you."
So I'm Sam, and this is actually my second baptism. I was a small child the first time around, so I don't really remember it, but glad to be doing it again. I didn't grow up going to church, but my parents did always tell me I would go to heaven when I died. Years went by, and modern influences had me hating God and disassociating myself from him. I was pushing against the values my parents had taught me to respect and uphold. Every now and then, I would pray to God, kind of bargaining with him, like, "God, if you're real, just cure this illness, or do this." And of course, prayer doesn't work like that. And God delivers things in his own way. I know that now. And I was a happy university student with decent grades and lovely friends, but I just had a confused outlook on the world and was quite willing to hurl into a passionate discussion on things that I had not even fully believed myself, but I accepted. One day I was chatting with a friend and asked him if he knew any single guys with decent morals, because in my limited dating experience I had found only Mr. Wrongs. He assured me he could round someone up and rearranged a double date. I would say to him, though, "Just not someone too religious," and he assured me it would be fine, which seems silly to me now, but turns out that it was hard to find a guy with the same moral compass that my parents had instilled in me that wasn't Christian. So that one date turned into a few more, and slowly we got to know each other, and I started attending church and got to know the Lord. God used my now husband to open my eyes to himself, and the hate that I had for God and slowly melted away, and I started to really understand everything. My journey to accepting Jesus was basically a bunch of small decisions over time. Kevin would present me with a new idea and patiently walk me through it. I would then freak out and then need some time to seriously think about it. And I needed to make sure that I could keep these beliefs in my heart if me and Kevin were ever to go separate ways. I wanted these decisions to be mine. I remember the moment I decided to accept the truth. I was painting in my parents' basement, and me and Kevin had been dating for a while now, and he had texted me needing to know if I believed if Jesus died for all of us, if he was the way to heaven and true peace. Like a phone zombie, I just paced around, questioning this, cradling this phone in my hands, just thinking and thinking. This was like the moment of truth for me. And I pictured the idea that Jesus was a real person who died and who lived and died, and I took a leap of faith and replied that I did. And from that moment on, I realized this is what I believed myself in my heart. The hardest part for me was the fear that I would be viewed as weird or judgy or extreme. I made a lot of changes, but I think once God entered my heart, it became more clear that this was something I had to do for me and for God, and because it made sense. For fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. When I read this verse, I feel like all the anxieties I had with being Christian made sense, and it was just another sign that this is where I was supposed to be. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. Everything I ever wanted, I have, and not just material things, but an amazing husband, a great network of friends and family. I have more respect for my parents. Less anxiety and a desire to love people. I still have moments when I regret things, obviously. When I worry, when I'm mean, when I'm impulsive, which is a lot. And I'm forgiven for anything I've ever done and ever could do. God could be picky with who he lets into heaven, but he chooses to love and forgive all of us. All we have to do is believe. I'm so proud to believe what I do. And I want to make God proud of me today.
My name is Rachel Redekop. I am 19 years old. I grew up in a Christian home surrounded by Christian friends. I was quite young when I came to understand that Jesus gave his life for me so that I could be forgiven. However, the life I lived did not reflect a Christian at all. I was selfish and never happy. My mindset was, the Bible says everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, so what's the big deal if I do this one thing? About halfway through grade 12, a friend of mine asked to go for lunch. While eating lunch, she asked, "Where are you on your walk with God?" I didn't have an answer. I wasn't close to God at all. I went to church every Sunday and knew all the Bible stories, but there was no closeness with the Lord. I then realized that I needed Christ to save me because I am a sinner. Jesus had died for me and took my imperfections upon himself because he loves me. And now, because he died and rose again on that third day, I have eternal life. I started growing more with the Lord from that day on. I decided to get baptized at the beginning of this year because I want to obey God's command. It has nothing to do with my recent engagement. I asked the Lord to guide me in my life and take control. I do still fall, but he is always there to pick me up. Since then, I have come to know what true love and happiness really are. I know God's amazing grace can save me from anything.
Hello. My name is Frank Phillipson. I grew up in a good Christian home with loving parents and siblings. Growing up, I enjoyed playing sports, swimming, and biking. I liked going to school, learning new things, and hanging out with friends. I attended Sunday school regularly and soon realized that the answer to all questions was Jesus. Although I told everyone I was a Christian, I didn't really understand what it meant or took to be one. I tried my best to be a good person, thinking that was all I had to do to get to heaven. I don't quite remember when or how it happened, but I do remember learning about sin and the penalty of sin, which is death, and that Jesus came down to take up my sin and die on the cross for me so that I might have eternal life. I then prayed and asked God to forgive my sins and come into my life. I knew then that one day I'd go to heaven and have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. Once I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I knew I still wasn't perfect and would still make mistakes. But I am learning to take on the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I find joy in knowing that I have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share a passage from Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight.
So I wonder what it was like along the Jordan. I wonder what it was that people heard. Wonder what it was that people saw. I wonder what kinds of questions were being raised as people were sharing the fact that they too believed that Jesus was the Messiah. As they were seeing a transformation take place that couldn't be explained other than the supernatural work of God's Spirit and the power of God's message. And so you, like those along the Jordan, are hearing. What do you want? What did you expect? I'll let you reflect upon that. I'll ask Henry to come up and we're going to go and get ready to be baptized. Heavy lifting right at the start. Now, I don't want you taking me all the way down, okay, buddy?
It's possible.
Because I might be an anchor more than you think. Chris, I appreciated your testimony. I know that you want to live for the Lord. I know that to do that intentionally means to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to always be at work in your heart. As I said to you in times past, that you're the head of the home. To raise a family is an awesome responsibility. To nurture your children in the things of God will mean that you'll have to be intentional in reading and praying with your kids to help them understand the things that you've come to understand. Now, I know that you like driving fast, and I know that God is working on your heart that way. And I know you're a very patient person when you want to be. These are self-confessed. This is confession time, so this is what happened by the Jordan River, okay? This is what happened. But frankly, even with all of these things, the things that are obvious to us are the easiest things to change. It's the things that aren't so obvious that take a lot more prayer, take a lot more wisdom and waiting on God to work in our hearts. And God uses all kinds of people. And so your family, your friends, brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be people who are going to help sharpen you as you walk. They're going to help you to mature by their example, sometimes by addressing some of those areas in your life that you know you need to change but weren't ready to confess to. May the Lord give you wisdom. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died for your sins so that you might have eternal life?
Yes.
Do you believe that eternal life is a gift and not by works?
Yes.
And do you believe that having that gift can never be lost?
Yes.
Based upon your confession, you're going to have to get a little closer, buddy. That's right. Good. Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the... I got to get my arm around you. Name of the Father... Put your arm up here. That's right. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think you and Chris were talking about how you're going to bring me down into the water before you got here. Because he didn't want to come up. Tracy, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and know that you love the Lord. I know that you and Chris have walked through some challenges already that others here have also. And it's not easy. It's a loss you've experienced. And God permitted that in your life. But he also gave you life. And he's given you an opportunity with Lexi, with Cain. And by the way, Cain has got energy for all of us. That's for sure. But it's good energy. And so you'll be seeking the Lord for wisdom and for strength. And the Lord will give. And the Lord will use his word. And he'll always be working at shaping your character. There are many women here who just love you, want to get to know you better, so you don't need to fear them. They too have kids and so on, and that's the joy and the beauty of a church family, to be able to walk together by faith. Tracy, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose on the third day?
Yes.
You realize that he died to take away your sin. By believing in him, you've been granted the gift of eternal life. This is a life that'll never be lost. Do you believe this?
Yes, I do.
Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make it look like it's cold. Wonder what the temperature was like along the Jordan River.
Not like this.
Not like this, eh? Okay. Sam, where's Kevin anyway? Did he show up? Oh, there he is. Oh, yeah. No, I know he was playing guitar and we prayed earlier. In fact, I've been praying for you for a long time. You're not unlike Renee and I. We're first-generation Christians. Both of us were baptized as infants, and there's a lot of similarities. We weren't clearly taught the Word of God, and by the grace of God, God brought people into our lives to help us understand his amazing grace, his love. So, Samantha, you and Kevin have a wonderful future together. To be able to pray and to read, to love each other deeply, and to walk with God. Yeah. So the Lord be your strength in all of that. And as that happens, you'll look in the mirror and you'll start seeing the changes that are taking place in your heart, your character. And like I said earlier, none of us arrive. We're all in process. We'd all would like to look in the mirror and say, I've grown so much, but only to realize that we may not have grown as much as we'd like. And God says, that's okay, I'm not finished with you yet. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose again?
Yeah.
He died to take away your sin, the penalty for your sin. He died to free you from the power of sin so that you don't have to live in fear and guilt. Do you believe that he has gifted you with the gift of eternal life?
Yes.
This is the life that begins the moment that you believe, and it's the gift that can never be lost. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Mom and Dad, is there anything I should know? Because I could hold it down a little longer. I just met your parents tonight. You're truly blessed to have lovely parents who love you. Rachel, I'm getting to know you, and I'm certainly... where's Abe, anyway? Oh, there you are. Oh, yeah, you better be within eye's view.
Well, in a few months, Abe's going to be standing up here and you'll be walking down the aisle. And things are going to look a little different. But this is a sight that, Abe, you never want to forget. That the woman that you love loves the Lord Jesus as you do. And that together you can have a life. A real life. Many of the marriages today, for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, obviously have not the meaning that God intended marriage to be. So may the Lord give you strength. Thank you for sharing your testimony today. What you said is probably true of a lot of young people in their teenage years. They realize that they're living a lie, and the only difference is going to be in walking with the Lord Jesus. I'm glad you've come to understand the truth. And my prayer for you is that you would continue to walk in the truth. That's what Jesus says. You can read it in 1 John. Yeah. He told John that. He made it clear in the Gospel of John. And the Apostle John wrote a book just about those ideas. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose to take away your sin?
Yes.
Do you believe that he has gifted you with the gift of eternal life?
Yes.
This is a life that begins the moment that you believe.
Yes.
It is also a life that can never be lost. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I really needed to coach Frank here because I said if he doesn't actually bend his knees, it'll be like a toothpick in the water. I'll have to push him down. So I didn't want that. Frank, it's been good getting to know you as a young man. Your love for the Lord. It's nice to see your family here. Your mom and dad have been praying for you, investing in your life, taking the time to counsel you and help you. They've been a godly example to you. Now you have other young men. There's a whole bunch of them over there. Scallywags. Now they're good guys. And I hope you get to know them. We've been blessed with a good group of godly young men and women who love the Lord. And Frank is amongst that company today. Frank, what do you hope to do with your life?
Not sure yet.
Not sure. Well, I understand what you mean, because when I was your age, I was doing something completely different than what I'm doing now. But it may very well be that God would call you and ask you to come and serve. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes.
Well, that's great. I hope you're scared, though, because that's what it takes, being a little bit fearful of all the things that God asks us to do. Do you have any friends here? Yeah?
Yeah.
If you're Frank's friend, put your hand up. There they are. There's some there. Well, not another Frank. He's being frank with you. No, I mean some friends that you invited. Are they here? Did you invite some friends here tonight?
There's some in the back.
Some riffraff in the back? Okay. Good. Glad that you came. I promise not to hold them down too long, but I got to ask them a few questions. Because you see, by the Jordan River, people that Jesus was baptized and his disciples were baptizing, understood that Jesus was the Messiah. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who is the Savior of the world?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died and rose again for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that he has gifted you with life eternal?
Yes.
This is a life that can never be lost. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, why don't you come this way, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father
but through the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. These folks here are now have been experiencing the abundant life for a season. They want to enjoy it. They are committing themselves anew, in a fresh way, and before you, so that you might understand that they have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'll ask those of you who have asked to pray to come up at this time. I'd like you to stand over here. Gang, come on over here. Okay. Yeah. We're going to stand behind you. Okay? There we go.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's again been a blessing to be able to watch these people get baptized because of their love for you and the truth they've come to understand. And so we're grateful for that. It's a blessing to each one to hear your word, as we know it is the truth, Lord. And so they proclaimed it because they came to understand it. And so we just, Lord, give you praise. And we ask that you would continue to work in the hearts of each one of these people, Lord, each one of them. They've proclaimed that they've understood that you love them. And that is what your scriptures say. And so, Lord, by your love and by your truth, continue to draw them and help them to live the life that you want them to live. And so, Lord, my prayer for each one of them would just simply be that they would walk close to you and that you would give them that daily strength. We've all heard it's not simple. It's not going to be easy after someone comes to faith in your Son. But the whole point is that we can have life and that we can live it abundantly, Lord. And so give them that strength. And just help them to trust in you for that daily strength, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I too thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening and to witness this. I also pray, as Henry said, that you would walk with these people that have been baptized now, that you would give them the strength to live the life. But I also pray for each one else that's here today. I pray for those that are maybe thinking, I should take a step closer. I should maybe walk a little closer with Jesus. Or maybe someone has said, I think I believe. I think I believe what they believe. And Father, that you would give those people courage to come out and say it. To also want to be a part of this family of God. I just thank you so much for this evening and for how encouraging it is. Thank you for each one that has made it a point to be here this evening to support these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you for Chris and Tracy. Thank you for their family. Thank you that they love you. We pray that you'll grant them wisdom as they raise their children. Give them the needed courage to live for you. May they depend upon you day after day as they walk in your truth. Also pray, Lord, for Samantha. Thank you for her and just her transparency and the things that she's shared with us and how vulnerable she's felt. Thank you that she's willing to walk with you. And I pray that as she and Kevin about to have a family, that you would just continue to watch over them. Grant them much wisdom. Give them courage as well as they meet with others who don't know you. And so may you use their lives to share the good news and that others would come to know and understand your marvelous grace. Thank you, Lord, for Rachel. Thank you, Lord, that she too loves you and as she anticipates marriage and life together with Abe, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to walk by faith, to grow in their relationship with you. And that together, Lord, they would be trusting and resting in your promises, growing in a deeper understanding of your grace, being willing, Lord, to be nurtured and discipled. Thank you, Lord, for Frank, and again for his testimony and the things that we've heard. Pray that you'll continue to help him to have influence with his buddies and that many others would also come to know you. Lord, we have been encouraged. We've gotten a glimpse of what it might have been like to be by the coast of the Jordan River, hearing people confess their need of a Savior and recognizing you as the Messiah. And then voluntarily saying, Lord, we want to follow you. We want to live for you. And so help them to do that. I thank you, Lord, for the families that are here, for the moms and dads, and for the many friends that have prayed and who have encouraged these folks here, these men and women. And so may they be encouraged today, and may you continue to work in their hearts and through their lives to reach others and to realize that the work of prayer isn't over. It's just ongoing. Thank you for an evening of praise and worship. Thank you for those who have worked behind the scenes to make this evening possible. And just pray that you would allow us to give you praise and glory. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. And so you family and friends, be sure to encourage these folks and realize that they want to encourage you. And so make sure that you encourage them with your words and remind them that you're going to continue to pray for them. May the Lord bless you. Greet each other with a holy handshake.